this morning, if you would, and open again to the passage that was read this morning for scripture reading, Psalm 19. Psalm 19 this morning. Today we want to consider this Psalm of David in its entirety. Psalm 19 is well known to most of us here this morning. And in many ways, Psalm 19 is one of the more of the beautiful psalms that David ever wrote. It is a matchless psalm filled with great and wonderful truth. And this morning, as we come to study Psalm 19, I want us to see the glory and grace of our God. In Psalm 19, we find revealed the glory of God as it is seen through natural revelation. But then we find the grace of God as it's revealed through what we term special revelation. We as God's people ought to consider it to be wonderful and precious that the God of heaven, the creator of all things, would condescend to men of low estate and reveal himself to us. We were unworthy of such a revelation because we are sinful. We chose to reject him and his holiness and his love. We turned from him as sheep to go astray. We were wretched creatures who rejected the one who created us. Yet if God had not revealed himself to us, you and I would never have been able to understand nor comprehend his wonderful eternal truths. Man apart from God has devised his own foolish and illogical systems of thought as to how our existence came into being and those things concerning our eternity. But God in his wondrous love made known to us the truth of where we came from and where we are going. What a wonderful truth that our God has revealed to us himself, relieving us from the foolishness of this sinful world. This morning we want to come and we want to study together Psalm 19, and I've entitled the message, Glory and Grace, the Goodness of God Revealed to Men. Before we consider it though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we ask for your help and understanding of this precious and beautiful psalm. This psalm which reveals to us the glory of our God and the grace of our Lord. Father, we ask and pray today that as we consider these things, that we would behold him in the beauty and majesty of his holiness, that we would see him for his love and compassion to usward, that we would truly then have a passion for our Savior Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask and pray that you'd bless every part of this time and study. Lord, if there's one here today who knows not Jesus Christ, they've never seen God in his glory, nor understood his grace that revealed salvation unto mankind. Then, Father, I pray that you would show them their own wretched, sinful self as they behold themselves in the mirror of the Word of God. But then they see the light of Christ and the glory and beauty of his face, and there call upon him to be their Savior today. So, Father, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time and our study together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look with me again at the first six verses of Psalm 19. David writes and says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth at the strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." As we begin to study Psalm 19 together this morning, we find that in the first six verses, David writes to share with us the glory of God as it's seen in natural revelation. The very God of heaven, the creator of all things, has revealed himself through the form of natural revelation. And what we mean by that is very simply, through his very nature, through his creative acts and all that we can behold, the heavens declare the glory of God. His creation shows us the glory of our God. And so in those first six verses, David shares some things with relation to the glory of our God. He declares that that glory is seen through what you and I see, the nature that God has created. He has revealed to man through his creation that he is one that is powerful. Yet we can say, yea, one who is all powerful. In his creation, we see one who is wise. Yes, the one who is all wise. There is none like our God. He has revealed to us himself in the glory that he possesses. We can behold the splendor of his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. What a wonderful statement. As you and I behold the nature and the natural revelation of God, we see in him and his creation the very glory of God. The firmament shows to us his handiwork. All that we see around us points to the very glory of our God. It reveals to us that wonderful truth that he is Elohim. He is the creator, the all-powerful one who made all things. Every day as man lives amongst the creation of God, and every time man gazes heavenward, God shows to man that he is a God of glory. God's creation causes us to look upward, causes us to consider the one who made all things. I want you to consider with me for just a few moments some of the wonders of God's creation. And really, it's hard to fathom that some could look at what God has made and not see the handiwork of Almighty God. That they cannot see one who is all-powerful and all-wise. Consider the orderliness of our universe. I'm thankful for that order, aren't you? Now, we as men, do we not tend towards chaos, not order? We have to be challenged to live orderly lives. We tend to chaos, especially men. It doesn't take us long to get from neatness to chaos. All you need to do is get involved with men who do some projects around the home. You know what you find? They do the work, but they don't what, ladies? They don't clean up. We leave everything behind. We go from, boy, every lady had the answer for that one too. Did you notice that one? That was amazing. It was like in unison, clean up. And they were loud and vocal about it too. Guys, I think we better change. The reality is man tends to chaos. But God established a universe in orderliness. So orderly that we can, folks, predict things to come. So orderly we set our watch to it. Enough so that you can look down and say, I wonder what time he'll be done, because the roast is going to hit, the oven's going to go on, and you're going to know exactly when that's going to happen, because we predict it to happen by the orderliness of the universe. We know what time certain comets will come through. We see them X amount of years, and we can predict when we'll see it again. We know when the eclipses will happen because we can predict it. We can tell the phases of the moon. Why? Because God made the universe orderly. That's a marvel to me. Things don't just spin out of control. If you and I were in charge, it would. If you and I designed it, it would, but not God. God is a God of order. Consider the contrasting beauty of our earth. We have mountains and we have valleys. We have meadows and we have deserts. We have a piece of a lake, but the power of the sea. All of that is part of God's creation.
And those contrasts of beauty reveal to us the very glory of our God. If those aren't enough for you, consider the intrinsic design of the human body. The fact that you and I are able to function and breathe every day. The things that we're able to do and the fine motor skills that we have. All part of God's design and His plan. That didn't happen by accident. It happened by intelligent design. God made us that way. And all of His creation points to His glory. And if you and I would stop and take note and heed that revelation, we would see continually before us the glory of our God. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, I think made a good observation. He said, "From the excellency of the work, we may easily infer the infinite perfection of its great author. From the brightness of the heavens, we may collect that the Creator is light. Their vastness of extent beseeks His immensity. Their height, His transcendence and sovereignty. Their influence upon this earth, His dominion and providence and universal beneficence. And all declare His almighty power, by which we were at first made, and continue to this day according to the ordinances that were then settled." All things reveal to us the glory of God. Charles Spurgeon, also speaking of this passage, says, "It is not merely glory that the heavens declare, but the glory of God. For they deliver to us such unanswerable arguments for a conscience, intelligent, planning, controlling, and presiding Creator that no unprejudiced person can remain unconvinced by them." Folks, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. You and I see around us the glory of our God revealed through His creation. And folks, God in His love and His grace revealed that to us. You and I would be unaware of any of those things if God did not reveal that to us by His own design. I want you to notice with me this morning that this natural revelation, which shows to us the glory of God, leaves man without excuse for his sin. Many in our world today want to hide behind the terms of ignorance. "Well, I just didn't know." Matter of fact, the world has this idea that somehow ignorance is bliss, and what I don't know, God can't judge me for. But folks, God's natural revelation, which reveals to us His glory, leaves man without excuse. In fact, the psalmist is going to give us some of that to understand that. He says in verse 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." As we consider God's declaration of His glory, I want you to understand, first of all, that the declaration of God's glory is undeniable. It's undeniable. As each day blends into the next, we are given an utterance of the knowledge of the glory of God. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. God's glory is undeniable. He has not left man without revelation, and that revelation cannot be denied. As you're there through the day, you see the sun shining, it reveals to us the very glory of our God. As that blends and folds into the night, and the moon and the stars declare His glory yet again, His glory is seen, it is undeniable. Each day and every day stands as a reminder of the very glory of God. You know, man marvels at science, don't we? Even the so-called science of our day, which, by the way, in many ways is not science. But we do marvel at those things. It's amazing to me how fascinated this world is with space. with the possibility of worlds beyond our own. We've created our own fantasies in the world of science fiction. Man has spent billions of dollars to explore space, to go and travel to the moon, or to go up to the space stations, to send something over to Mars to see, is it possible that there would be life there? We are fascinated by those things. And all of that reveals to us that there is one who is God, and His glory is known. And there's no denying the glory of our God. Only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Folks, the heavens declare to us, there is a God, and He is filled with glory. The declaration of God's glory is not only undeniable, but it is also universal. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God's revelation of His glory is universal. There is no land nor language where that revelation has not been declared. His revelation is universal. Whether you live in the cold north or the balmy south, no matter where you go, you are faced with the glory of God. Doesn't matter where you travel on this planet, you will see the very glory of God. And by the way, it's amazing to consider the differences of how His creation is revealed. You and I live in a place of absolute rugged beauty, and it reveals to us the very glory of our God. Yet there are other places of this world that God's beauty of His creation is much more tranquil and soft in its landscape than what we have here. But no matter where you go, it reveals to us the glory of our God. There is no speech nor language where His voice is not heard. His line has gone out through all the earth to the end of the world. It is universal. There is no escape of His glory. Third, I want you to see with me that the declaration of God's glory is unalterable. It is unalterable. Their line is gone throughout the earth, their word to the ends of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth at the strong man to run his race. Man can try as he likes to deny the glory of God and alter that truth. But folks, every day the sun rises with the excitement and splendor as a groom on his wedding day. Every day, He shines. You can't alter that. You can try all you want to stop it from happening, but every day the sun rises. Every day it comes forth as a bridegroom out of his chamber. Every day, although we may try and we may not like it, but every day the sun runs its race, it runs its circuit as a champion runner. And it completes its course day upon day upon day. And although we may try to somehow diffuse that reality, you cannot. And you cannot alter it. Every day the sun will rise, and every day it will run its race. Man can try as he likes, but he cannot alter the influence that the sun itself imposes. It says at the end of verse 6, there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Folks, if you live upon this earth, the sun has an influence upon you and you feel its heat. Now, some would deny that we feel much heat up here at all. I would deny that concept because I think we get enough heat and just all that we need. I don't think it needs to get a whole lot hotter. Otherwise, I would live every day outside like I do up here on Sundays. It's warm up here. But the reality is very simply, you can't alter the course. God has declared to us His glory. I want you to also understand that the declaration of God's glory leaves man without excuse. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. I want you to look with me at verse
18 down through verse 23. Paul writes and declares these truths: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things." Folks, God's revelation leaves man without excuse. Now, some struggle with that kind of concept. Well, what about the fact that they may not have the written scriptures? Can I ask you a question? How did Job know there was no God? There was a God? Most scholars would tell you that Job was the first book ever written in the Bible. He didn't have the law of Moses to declare to him creation. Abraham was before Moses. Probably never met Job and never read Job. How did he know there was a God? "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Folks, the natural revelation of God leaves man without excuse. "For it declares to us the glory of God." Do you know, I'm thankful Psalm 19 doesn't end there. But now we pick up in verse 7. And we find that the grace of God is seen in special revelation. Look at verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And He's going to go on and give us this truth about the very words of God. And through the very word of God, His special revelation, we see the grace of God revealed. The glory of God leaves man without an excuse, but still, there is need for more revelation to show us the solution to sinfulness. And God in His grace did more than just give us a general revelation. He provided special revelation so that we might know how to be saved. By the way, I think it's very interesting, the names of God that are used in conjunction with these forms of revelation. Look at verse 1 again. "The heavens declare the glory of," what's the name? God. Elohim. If you were with us on Wednesday nights not that long ago, we studied the various names of God. We understand that the name Elohim refers to a God of power, the one who created all things. But when you come to verse 7, there's a change in name. "For we find that the law," not of God, "but the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Again, you'll notice that word "Lord" is in all capitals. We understand that from our study to be the very name Jehovah. The very personal name of God. "And the law of the Lord converts the soul." And the psalmist unfolds to us in beautiful poetic form the wonder and beauty of God's special revelation that reveals to us His matchless grace. Notice quickly with me how he defines this revelation. First of all, verse 7 declares it to be the law of the Lord, which is perfect, converting the soul. The word "law" refers to two things. It refers to the body of teaching that guides us and directs us, and the body of truth that is clearly placed in the sight of man.
God has given to us His law, that which is to guide us and to teach us, that which gives us the truth that we must know and see. This law, body of truth, has revealed to us the grace of God, and in the gospel, it is described as perfect, one that converts the soul. What a blessing that God gave to us His law. Charles Spurgeon aptly states that when David made that statement, the law to which he referred to is but a part of what you and I have now had revealed unto us today. He goes on to describe the Word of God today as the book which contains the clearest display of divine love and gives us an open vision of redeeming grace. Charles Spurgeon continued and said that the gospel is a complete scheme, a law of gracious salvation, presenting to the needy sinner everything that his terrible necessities can possibly demand. God revealed to us the law, that which is perfect, able to convert the soul. God, through special revelation, revealed His grace that would save sinful men. I'm thankful for that. We ought to rejoice that God revealed to us His grace, the law, perfect, converting the soul. He moves on and says that the testimonies of the Lord are pure, making wise the simple. The word testimony of the Lord is a word that simply means the truth that bears witness of the will of God. These testimonies are sure. They can be relied upon. They can be trusted with all of our heart. God has revealed to us truth that bears witness to what His will is for you and me. The blessing of His grace that we have been bestowed upon through the testimonies of the Lord is that our simplicity is turned to wisdom. God gives us His word that makes those of us who are simple wise. I think of James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth the man liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You and I are simple people. I marvel sometimes at my own simplicity. We would use a different word in our culture today. We might call it stupidity. It's amazing to me sometimes how simple-minded we can be. But the Word of God, the grace of God, takes our simplicity and gives us wisdom. The testimonies of the Lord are pure. They can be trusted, relied upon. What grace that God would give us the necessary wisdom to live this life in a way pleasing unto Him. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The word statute here means to engrave or to inscribe. It speaks of those truths ingrained within the hearts of man, God's moral laws. It's amazing to me that man is born in some ways with a knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. Now, in all fairness, sometimes that is very much perverted and it needs to be changed and taught and instructed. But let's face it. Children know that they are doing something that is wrong. A little child knows that they are living in disobedience to what mom and dad says. You tell them, no, don't touch that. And that look on their face as they reach out says, I know it's wrong, but I want to do it anyway. And it's our job as parents then to teach them and train them to follow what is wrong. Right. But God has inscribed within our hearts some truths of right and wrong, moral laws. By the way, you know that from men's statements such as this. That's not fair. Where'd that come from? We want justice. Those are moral truths that God has revealed to us. They've been inscribed within our heart. There's a sense of right and wrong, and God has graciously revealed that to us. And apart from that revelation, we wouldn't know much of what is right and wrong. God has given to us a code of morality, and it rejoices the heart. He goes on, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word commandment simply means definitive, authoritative orders from the Lord. These commands are found in the Word of God. They are pure. They lighten the eyes. God gives to us His commands. Again, Charles Spurgeon said, in these commands there is no mixture of error that defiles it, no stain of sin that pollutes it. It is unadulterated milk, undiluted wine. The commandments of the Lord are pure. They enlighten the eyes. The revelation of God produces to the willing recipient a wholesome fear that is cleansing and endures forever. He next speaks of the judgments of the Lord. In verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. The term judgments is a legal term. It refers to a binding law. God's judgments are binding and they aid us in knowing what is right and wrong. His judgments regulate our actions, our attitudes, our thoughts, our feelings. God in His wondrous grace has given to us these things that reveal to us His mind, His heart, His salvation, the way that we ought to live, and it benefits the soul. God has graciously revealed Himself to us through His Word. And the psalmist declares that the Word of God, His special revelation, is of great value. We love verse 10 and following. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The psalmist declares that in reality, the Word of God, His special revelation, is to be desired above all else. More to be desired than gold. Better than the finest of gold. As we read it, as we take it into our lives, it is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Folks, God's Word ought to be desired, for in it the grace of God is revealed. And through it, salvation is known. His will is made plain. His commandments are given that lighten the eyes, that cleanse and purify the life. In verse 12 down through verse 14, we find the goodness of God's grace will bring a proper response. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God in His glory is revealed through natural revelation. His grace is seen through special revelation, and all of that points to His goodness to us. And as we understand the goodness of our God, it should lead to a proper response. As one contemplates either God's general revelation or His special revelation, he is brought to the place of great consideration to see the goodness of God. W. Graham Scroggie in his commentary said, contemplate the skies or the Scriptures, and with either one, you are face to face with God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the Scriptures reveal His grace. Contemplate either one, folks. Behold His glory or see His grace. Whether you look at the skies or the Scriptures, you are looking in the face of Almighty God. As you look into the face of Almighty God, it should drive within us a proper response. When we come to that point, and we can only be brought to that point as the psalmist was, a point of self-examination, we're able to say like David, he desired cleansing. He desired a preservation from evil. And he wanted to be accepted of his Lord. There's a proper response to the goodness of God. Christian, I wonder how long it's been that we have contemplated His goodness. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in that which is important to us, that which we see here upon this earth. We look at our circumstances, we look at our problems, we look at our trials, we look at our struggles, we look at other people. And what we forget to do is to look to the face of God. You can do that one of two ways. You can behold His creation, which causes you to look upward. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Or you can come and open up to you the Scriptures and read it with a heart that says, Lord, show me Your grace. And the testimonies of the Lord are sure. The commandments of the Lord are pure. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. We see the face of God, and as we contemplate His goodness, do we not want to be cleansed and made pure? Do we not want to be preserved from evil? Do we want to be accepted of Him? Beloved, God has graciously revealed Himself to you and I this day. What will you do with that revelation? What will you do with the truth that God reveals to you? We are a people, folks, most privileged. We are a people blessed beyond measure. We have His glory. We can see His grace. Completed Scriptures before us. It enlightens us. It'll save us. It'll direct us according to His will. And we can be pleasing in His sight. What will you do with the truth revealed to you this day? Many of men have looked at the glory of God and snuffed at it. Many have been given the grace of God and flat out rejected it. With that response, all men will be held accountable. But there ought to be a proper response, as David said. And oh, that God would give us a proper response to His goodness revealed to us through glory and grace. Let's pray together.